If the election is a referendum on Joe Biden's policies and the failures that we've seen, and we are presenting a positive vision for the future, we will win the presidency and we will have a chance to turn the country around. If, on the other hand, the election is not about January 20th, 2025, but January 6th, 2021, or what document was left by the toilet at Mar-a-Lago, if it's a referendum on that, we are going to lose.
So what's funny about this is that he has literally done that. You've done that, brother. You constantly talk about it. You constantly defend Donald Trump.
Do you know with Trump in the race, that is largely what it's going to be about. And right now, and you're not fighting against Joe Biden. You're fighting against Trump.
That's not a pathway for success for the Republican Party. I think a lot of our voters understand that.
His face emotes too much and like in a gross way. Like he's constantly bobbling like a bobblehead. And that shit is so nasty. Like, I don't know how to describe it. I just have like a very cringe reaction to any kind of camera opportunity I have where I experience Ron DeSantis. I don't like it. Like, that's right. Hello. We need to make sure the election is about the issues and not about Trump's toilet paper. And it's like, who's going to look at this and go, damn, that's my charismatic leader right there, dog. When has elections in the United States of America ever been about issues, man? What are you, crazy? You're a Republican. What are you saying? Republicans are like the number one non-issue guys. The entire mechanism for winning elections for Republicans revolves around voter suppression and making non-issues into the most important issue to churn out single-issue voters. The culture wars. It's wedge issues. It's stuff that has no real, like, bearing on your existence unless you are, of course, part of the impacted minority group that is going to receive the shitty end of that bargain. Yeah, he's literally suing Bud Light because they don't hate trans people. It's so dumb, which, by the way, they do. You are not doing the right thing. Culture wars are supposed to simply be a thing that you say. It's not supposed to be actual legislation. Only the most insane freaks want real, tangible legislative agenda items that make it illegal for a company to like work with trans people. It's all of those like groiped up Zoomers that he has hired that love putting the Sonnenrad in their campaign ads that want that sort of thing. And they have completely clouded his judgment. The best Republican is one that, you know, does the regular things that he's supposed to do, deregulation, tax cuts for the wealthy and corporations. But on issues of culture war, you're just supposed to sometimes do it, like every now and then. Just give a little tease. Look at Donald Trump. Abortion was a major issue for years and years and years, a major issue. Even though 75% of Americans believe that Roe v. Wade was precedent that should remain. What happened? Donald Trump got 3 Supreme Court picks. And then they turned around and utilized that supermajority to eviscerate abortion protections at the Supreme Court, overturning what they considered to be a super precedent. The fallout from that is clear. It was supposed to be a profoundly successful Republican midterm, and it turned into nothingness because the conversation was on abortion. When Republicans move beyond utilizing culture war issues and actually enact their nefarious agendas, a lot of people start recognizing the cruelty of said agenda and no longer feel as comfortable arguing on behalf of it, other than the very freaks that are going out to Planned Parenthoods, the sweaty gremlins that stand outside of Planned Parenthoods to scream at teenagers who are trying to get a pap smear or trying to get, some kind of STI test or trying to get an abortion. Those people are insane. You cannot win a national election, not win a general election with just a coalition that you've put together with people like that. If your entire proposal as a Republican revolves around being cruel to marginalized groups, then you can't actually act out those cruel desires openly. Because the inevitable fallout from experiencing the cruelty
that the Republican legislative body is subjecting marginalized groups to is going to cause you to lose elections. It's going to cost the election for you. Ron DeSantis has not seen that for some reason and thinks that what really threw people off about Donald Trump was his rhetoric. And it's actually the exact opposite. What made Trump Trump was his incredible ability to read the room and also his awesome ability to communicate the anger that people in the crowd felt and direct it towards the same vectors of anger that the Republican Party has been developing, the same red herrings like immigrants, gay people, feminists, whatever, for years. And now he's doing the exact opposite. He doesn't have Trump's rhetoric because he can't, because he's not as telegenic as Trump. And he thinks it's actually follow through that matters. Like, absolutely not. If that was the case, Trump wouldn't be so beloved. He didn't build the wall, which Ron DeSantis and his idiotic ass also brought up. He didn't lock up Hillary Clinton. There were plenty of promises that Trump made in the campaign trail that he didn't follow through on. Doesn't matter. And they still love him. They love him because he is charismatic. Not charismatic to you and I, or maybe he is charismatic to you and I because he's charismatic to me, but charismatic to the average American. Trump did all of those things. What do you mean? Trump's border wall wasn't necessarily a real border wall. It was just like rebuilding certain parts of the wall that already existed. What are you talking about? It's still porous. Doesn't matter. Hillary Clinton is not in jail. That was a major talking point in the campaign. The swamp never got drained. And yet, in spite of all of that, Trump was a very successful Republican president. Not Ronald Reagan levels of success, but still up there. Probably almost as successful as Ronald Reagan. Couldn't even repeal Obamacare. So, after all of that, why do people still love him? Why does he still have like 90%, near 90% support in the Republican Party? Which never deviated, by the way, during his presidency when he wasn't fulfilling his promises. Why? Because he played the culture war game perfectly. He owned the libs. Libs couldn't stand him. The culture war stuff works well when libs are getting mad. You want to be the cool, charismatic, funny guy who makes jokes about the nerd in the room. You don't want to be the school bully. You don't want to be the playground bully that's actually beating the shit out of like random onlookers. I've said this time and time again. There was an important study. I forget what year it was conducted. There was a study conducted on Democratic and Republican Party voters. And they asked the Republican Party voters about Republican policy positions and whether they believed that that was what the Republican Party was actually trying to do. And the majority of Republicans did not believe that the Republican Party was actually pushing those points of legislation, that they actually were. When asked why, they said, oh, that's far too cruel. That's not the case. No shot. Republican policy positions, like actual Republican policy prescriptions, are so cruel and so unusual that Republican voters and conservatives across the board don't even believe that that's what they actually stand for. How do you make sense of that? As for why Republican voters in particular don't see a difference between the two major parties, there are many causes. Motivated reasoning likely plays a large role. If a Republican voter doesn't think mining companies should dump debris into a stream, why would they think their elected representative would support this policy? Another great example of this is amnesty provisions. Another moment of clarity is something that we already experienced. 75% of Americans, which means a tremendous number of Republicans as well, believe in protecting Roe v. Wade. You are supposed to play on a delicate tightrope. And the moment that you fall off that rope, the moment that where you show your hand and the actual cruelty of your legislation is for all to experience, like criminalizing abortion instantaneously after the Roe v. Wade decision, all of a sudden, everybody recognizes, oh, wait, no, the Republicans aren't actually on board with this. I don't like that. The entire point of the culture war, the entire point of wedge issues, which are carefully crafted, are to dangle them as a carrot, never to actually give the carrot to the person. Because when you do that, well, then people realize, oh, man, carrots are kind of gross. You're not supposed to eat the carrot. You're supposed to run towards it. It's a double whammy because not only do you lose the carrot that you were using as a way to mobilize your base of support, but now people are living in a world, in a universe, where they recognize the negative consequences of your legislative agenda. But even when they accidentally execute, like in Roe v. Wade, Republicans are so good at misinformation and smoke and mirrors that the voter base doesn't shift. That's not true at all. Republicans have a really hard battle. That is the reason why currently there's this, is Trump going to be the next candidate or is it Ron DeSantis or is it someone else battle happening inside of the Republican Party? But that battle is actually a much larger one. Republicans are victims of their own success. You're not supposed to actually deliver on the horrifying legislative agenda because Republicans get abortions too. It's exactly like the dog that caught the car. The dog chases the car, but what the fuck's the dog gonna do when he actually catches the car? What the dog doing? Most importantly, Republicans have lost a solid base of suburban, upper middle class voters. Those people are very important for elections because American elections are not about like actually getting the maximum number of people to come out and vote for you. Come on. That's why we have the Electoral College. You have to target people who actually vote. You know who votes? Rich people, people in the suburbs. You cannot create a winning coalition by simply trying to build a reactionary base of support by tapping into single issue voters that live in like rural areas. There's not enough people. There was a thing that I believe Chuck Schumer said a couple years back. Let me see if I can find it. He said something along the lines of, for every blue collar worker that we lose in a rural area, we gain 2 suburban voters. I remember getting so mad at that sentiment. So gross. So frustrating. It was a sentiment that I thought was completely false as well. I thought it was false at the time because, yeah, you said it was about Pennsylvania and we lost to Trump. That was part of the reason why I thought it was false. And I also think it is objectionable because you should not be losing the base of support in the blue collar. You should not throw working class Americans, you should not throw them to the side because you want to win elections. The unfortunate reality, however, is if you have simply one interest in mind, and that is to make sure that Democrats win elections, it wasn't wrong. The only moral abortion is my abortion is a well-known phenomenon. Conservatives, especially religious ones, are very comfortable with hypocrisy. We know that they're comfortable with hypocrisy. But here's the reality. When you live in a red area and your daughter needs to get an abortion and you're a conservative voter and now she's terrified, or when you are a Republican and you're a Republican voter year over year, and all of a sudden you have an ectopic pregnancy and your fucking doctor can't terminate because they're terrified, it don't matter. It don't matter. The hypocrisy goes away. So what you're saying is correct with respect to the only moral abortion is my abortion, as long as it's accessible. And it was never really accessible in red areas, but they didn't care because they were rich enough, clearly. They didn't make a bigger deal about it. They didn't think about the trap laws, right? Like, they didn't think about all the red tape that made it so difficult to actually have abortion clinics in Republican states. But ultimately, for an ectopic pregnancy or for an abortion, you could always find somewhere to go. An abortion clinic that's far away, but yet still an abortion clinic without the fear that you would be punished by the law. Once that shifted and you were directly facing legal repercussions for this medical procedure that is an absolute necessity for your survival in many cases, it's done. Here's the Chuck Schumer quote. Oh, you found it?
For every blue-collar Democrat we will lose in Western PA, we will pick up 2-3 moderate Republicans in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And you can repeat that in Ohio and Illinois.
He's not necessarily wrong about this take. But this take relies on the Republican Party fucking up and actually giving the game away and actually pushing for cruel measures. There is a tremendous amount of harm that the American people now have to experience for this idiotic idea to come to fruition. Now, of course, it still came to fruition. It's coming to fruition now, but it still doesn't matter. It's disgusting that you're openly and cynically saying it. No, he's wrong because it doesn't fucking work. Well, if it did not work, you would not see it exactly as KFG is saying in Arizona and Georgia. It's not going to work in Ohio. It's not going to work in Pennsylvania. Well, Pennsylvania might be a little different this time around as well. But It's working in a lot of areas that you did not think it was going to work, specifically red areas or previously red areas. Like, this shows how the Democratic Party operates in a disgusting manner. They do not care about the lives that they're ruining by allowing, it's very mask off, by allowing the Republican Party to behave in violent ways because they, in their minds, are making a mental calculation that is better for them to win elections without really doing anything. Because if you do something, then all of a sudden, you're going against the real people that you care about, your real constituents, your corporate benefactors. And it also requires the Republican Party to extend their hand, over-leverage themselves, and actually act out on some of their more violent desires. There's a lot of complicated stuff going on. I think the main issue is that while the upper middle class going Democrat is helpful for midterms, the biggest growth potential for new voters is among the working class and young. Lots of them don't vote and lean left. I know, but the other side of this, Mike, is that, I mean, you can say the Democratic Party has never made a serious attempt to activate these people, but there are people in the Democratic Party who have tried and have failed. The real argument here for the Democratic Party's incompetence, in my opinion, is about losing out on the Hispanic vote and losing out on the black vote. Well, the Hispanic vote is different, but especially the black voter base have been the most reliable voter base for the Democratic Party, historically speaking, post-civil rights movement. The reality is that in places like Texas, the Republicans have done a very good job. Texas GOP has done a very good job of just hammering in culture war issues to a Hispanic base of support that allows them to keep maintaining the majorities they need in places like that, when we know that in spite of the Hispanic vote not being a solid voter block in a similar way as the African-American voter block is, right? Because of geographic location differences and the fact that, like, it's born out of migration and it completely depends on which region someone is coming from and what kind of prior political opinions they have. The Hispanic voter bloc has certain concepts, like the Latino voting bloc has certain concepts that they are infinitely more favorable towards regardless of the demographics, the age demographics. And I am, of course, talking about fiscally progressive economic policies. There is no other voter bloc in the United States of America that openly says, even with the most massaged, the most disingenuous talking point, they say they want bigger government. The Latino voting bloc loves big government, wants bigger government. They want bigger government. They hate all the, you know, abortion, gay stuff. They don't like all that because they're, you know, hardline Catholics. So the Texas GOP relies on the Democratic Party's incompetence, or rather lack of care on actually communicating any kind of, strong government initiative, and hammers on the Catholicism angle like crazy. And it's been very successful. Not all Latinos want bigger government, and the Democratic Party already wins about 65% of them. Yeah, keep being comfortable thinking that you will continue getting those numbers with the Latino vote, as those numbers have actually, in prior years, and this is a very important part of this conversation that people are forgetting, in previous years, the Latino voter bloc and the black voter bloc would certainly hemorrhage in support of the Democratic Party. It was going down, right? There was a trend line that is, like, definitely going down. But something really scary for the Democratic Party's future prospects has been happening, and it's not that black people are no longer choosing to vote, and they're just, like, saying, I'm not voting, fuck this shit. Some black voters are actually voting for the Republican Party. That is new, because the Republican Party relies on racial agitation as a way to galvanize its white voter base. Do you understand? That is a dramatic shift that spells trouble for the Democratic Party. Think about it. The Republican Party's attitude towards black voters has historically been, let's do everything we can to stop them from voting. Both parties race bait, what do you mean? Yes, they certainly do, but in the opposing directions, silly chatter. Yes, the Democratic Party says, oh, Black Lives Matter, I'm going to wear the kente cloth, please, I love you, please, black people, vote for me, keep voting for me, and then they don't do shit when it comes down to, like, genuinely improving the material conditions of black voters or black people in general in the United States of America. The Republican Party does the exact opposite, where they're like, they're all thugs, they're all welfare queens, they're all criminals, They're angry all the time. They're violent all the time. They're coming into your suburbs and they're going to fuck your wife. They're both doing some kind of, you know, racial communication. It's just in the exact opposite direction. Can't believe we got all the way over here because I was trying to show you the reason why I sidestepped into the Republican voter base and what they understand and what they don't understand about their own personal politics is because Ron DeSantis has it backwards. He's putting the cart before the horse. You are not supposed to damage businesses like Disney, even if they're fucking woke businesses, by using big government initiatives and government overreach to punish them for culture war battles that you're fighting. The culture war battles are supposed to be there so that you can distract away from the actual purpose of why you are elected, which is to deregulate so that companies, no matter if they're gay or trans or whatever the fuck, as long as they're making billions of dollars, are deregulated and can continue to operate and generate value for their shareholders. That is the main purpose of the culture war. So if you become a culture warrior and get lost in the sauce and actually try to enact like fascist policies or whatever, some of which means you're going to regulate corporations, well, Americans are geared against that. You've done something now that goes against the very heart of Republican politics. You can't hurt the bottom line as a culture warrior. Trump didn't do that. Trump also had the wherewithal to recognize, like in North Carolina, the bathroom bill failing and the backlash to that. So he said, I don't give a shit where Caitlyn Jenner pisses or shits, as long as she's at Trump Tower. Now, that attitude has definitely shifted in the Republican Party's base of support because of the diligent, agitative propaganda that they've engaged in that has turned some of the more zealot supporters of the Republican Party into actual psychotic terrorists. Think that there are trans people lurking in the fucking shadows, that they think that their cash register is actually trans secretly. They think their parents might be trans secretly. You know what I mean? They're just basically destroying their brains by doing too much Facebook, doing too much internet. That is not a big enough constituency to win a general election. Those people are gross. They're too smarmy. They're too passionate about ridiculous issues. They constantly talk about the genitalia of children, right? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Calm down. Everybody agrees that pedophiles are bad, for example. But if you have dedicated your fucking life like to consistently talking about pedo hunting and you're constantly like maybe even you're LARPing as like a young boy to try and find pedophiles in the wild and doing all of that, at that point you're kind of weird. You're a weirdo. You're a bit of a weird guy. You don't want to be around that guy. You're like, what the fuck? All right, dude, chill out. Ew, gross. I don't want to think about this all the goddamn time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we agree. Pedophiles are bad. Fucking what's wrong with you? Like, the Republican Party thinks, like, no, you don't understand. Those are the real voters. Those are the fucking real voters. Those are the guys who are going to go out and vote. It's like, there's not enough of them, and you're grossing out the moderate suburban voters that do actually go out and vote. Of course, the other side of this equation is that a lot of those pedo hunter style Republicans are literally pedophiles and have served prison sentences for endangering children or, you know, doing pedophile shit, which is always kind of dark, but hilarious nonetheless. But these are some of the reasons why this issue is not simply a Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump issue. It is a Republican Party issue. They don't know what to do. They're trapped in their own primaries where they constantly have to go super far to the right. But if you do that in the general election, you have to reconfigure your strategy and come across as a little bit more reasonable. Like, yeah, those guys are a little gross, right? Come on, it's fine. We're not like that. And that is a very hard problem to solve.